writer for fishduck.com, an old friend. We've done many, many of these interviews in the past. He's covered Oregon for the past 16 years. Bob Rickert joining us here on ESPN Charlotte. Bob, it's been a long time. What's going on?
Not much. It's great to hear your voice, man. It's wonderful to hear the great sound of one Chris Allison. Awesome.
It's
so great to hear your voice.
Thank you, Bob. You too as well, my friend. It's been a long time. And as I mentioned, you've been covering Oregon for a long time, both football and basketball. Just from your perspective, first time since 1939. Like, we're dealing with history this side of the country also with South Carolina and what Frank Martin has done taking this school to their first ever Final Four. It's just about the same there for Oregon. Your fan base has to be going crazy over last year falling just short, but this year getting over the hump.
Yeah, they're pretty excited, you know, and obviously here everyone's excited for a few reasons. One, it's a pretty quick flight. As the West Coast goes, getting to Phoenix is easy from Portland or, you know, anywhere on the West Coast where a lot of the alums are and a lot of the fans are. So this isn't a long flight. It's about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours maximum to get down there. And, you know, there'll be a lot of Duck fans, I imagine, on Saturday. So,
Bob, for Dana Altman, and, you know, we saw the Elite Eight run last season where, you know, they ended Duke season in the Sweet 16, 82-68, and lost a game to Oklahoma by 12. And obviously he's done a tremendous job as the head coach there. He's been there a long time at Oregon. What's been the key? How's Dana Altman built this program now to pretty consistent NCAA tournament bursts and an Elite Eight last year and a Final Four this year?
Well, he's done this through sort of the old-fashioned sort of, all right, we're going to play defense and we're going to rebound. We're going to go recruit a bunch of guys who buy into the system. And it sounds very cliche, but it's what he's done. You know, Altman, I'm sure a lot of, you know, the fans that watch a lot of college basketball know who Dana Altman is. He's coming up on 600 wins here. You know, he just passed John Thompson. So, you know, he's starting to get into kind of fairly heady company here after 7 years at Kansas State and Mitch Richmond years and then a bunch of years at Creighton and then all of a sudden, you know, now at Oregon. He's averaging 26 wins a season. What he's done is he, the first 3-4 years, he went out and got a lot of JC transfers and he recruited a bunch of freshmen, some who stuck around for the length, some who didn't. And then about 3 years ago, he started to get some of the guys you're seeing now. He got Jordan Bell to commit. He got Casey Benson to commit. Casey's originally from Tempe, so he's going to be playing in front of all of his 500, you know, friends who want free tickets, I'm sure. He's a junior. He got Dylan Brooks. He got Tyler Dorsey to commit 2 years ago. And suddenly, all of a sudden, this starts to build a little bit. And he's got 4-star athletes who are sticking around 2 and 3 years. And I've heard this on a couple of different shows. It's true. There are no one-and-dones this year in the tournament, in the Final Four. And I think a lot of what we're seeing is, you know, you can win a lot of games with one-and-done talent. You can actually win national titles with it. But if you can get 4-star guys, by the time they're juniors and seniors, they're really more like 5-star guys with a lot of experience and 23 years old. And, you know, it's a different thing. Mm-hmm. The other thing that Altman's done is, you know, the Tar Heel fans will see this. He runs a defense, which is really hard for guys to kind of buy into and understand early, but he'll actually switch defenses in the middle of the possession. So they'll have a little bit of a soft zone to try to knock about 5 to 10 seconds off the shot clock. It allows Jordan Bell to kind of rest at the back end of it. Teams start their offense with about 20 seconds to go, and at about the 13, 14-second mark, they'll either jump out of the zone into the man-to-man or out of the man-to-man into the zone. I don't think that's going to be a problem for Joel Berry. Obviously, Roy Williams knows what's coming. But throughout the regular season, that causes a lot of people a lot of problems because they got to reset their offense. Now they only get 2 passes before they got to get a shutoff. So it's really interesting, and you got to have a lot of guys who've played together for a long time to do it. Otherwise, you see a lot of backdoor layups. So,
Bob, how surprised are you with Chris Boucher going down right before the start of the tournament? How surprised are you that Oregon is in the situation that, where they are in the Final Four?
Well, I think it's surprising if you haven't watched them all year, and I'll tell you why it's not surprising to Oregon fans. I mean, we're surprised to be in the Final Four, so I won't kid you there. I mean, I didn't expect them to beat Kansas. I expected them to get to the 8. I didn't expect them to beat Kansas. Because I figured at that point, okay, the lack of depth up front's really going to hurt them. But they played five games early in the year without Boucher. They beat UNLV in Portland. They beat UCLA at home on the play that Brooks hit at the buzzer, which some of you may have seen. They beat USC at home. They beat some real teams without Boucher early in the year, so they know how to play without him. I really think it's going to hurt them against North Carolina, though. You look at the way North Carolina leads the nation in offensive rebounding, the way they just crashed the boards. They're going to miss Boucher in this game. I don't think there's any doubt about that. So,
Bob, what has made Dylan Brooks so special for this Oregon team?
Well, he can do – he's an interesting guy because he doesn't do anything so well that you would call it great. He's not a great shooter. He's not a great passer. He only averages 2.9 rebounds a game. He's a good defender. He's an above-average defender. You know, I would give him, like, if you were going to score him, you'd give him an 8 at everything. But, I mean, at everything, which is unusual. He has really no weaknesses in his game. And he's a very strong guy. They list him at 6'6", but that's in shoes. He's not 6'6". He's more like 6'5". He's got a very short wingspan. It's under 6'4", right at 6'4". He's not a guy with a lot of length. But, you know, he's now in his third year. He played on the Canadian national team. He's played a lot of basketball in a lot of pressure situations. And he's one of those rare guys who, when the game is on the line and the ball is in his hands, you kind of almost expect it to go in or something good to happen. It's really his all-around game more than any one thing.
Bob Rickert joining us here on the Pulse, ESPN Charlotte. Fishduck.com is the website. He's covered the Oregon Ducks football and basketball for the last 16 seasons. And Oregon, North Carolina, the late game coming up on Saturday. And, Bob, you mentioned the offensive rebounding for North Carolina. Another factor here is going to be the ankles of Joel Berry. I know we're down here we're watching this big time because now both ankles over the last couple of weeks have been sprained with Joel Berry. How big of an impact do you think that makes if Joel Berry's out there limping around Saturday?
Well, I'd like to say it makes a huge impact as a Duck fan, but Oregon doesn't have, you know, in the past they've had guards like Terrell Brandon, Luke Rittenour, and Aaron Brooks who could just beat their guy off the dribble, right? And all of a sudden they could isolate against Berry, and the lateral quickness is a big deal. Oregon doesn't have that guy. They've got a freshman point guard in Peyton Pritchard, who's, again, another four-star kid, highly recruited. Pritchard at times has looked like the moment in the tournament might be too big for him. Doesn't mean it will be on Saturday, but he's looked a couple of times like, wow, you're really guiding that shot, or you made the wrong pass, or, you know, he's had a few brilliant moments, but I don't think Oregon has anyone who can really exploit Berry's lack of quickness. Now, obviously on defense, it allows Oregon to maybe get up and press him a little bit and change the angle on the passes. As far as that goes, you know, Oregon doesn't have a guy who can just go exploit him. Casey Benson is a very good player. Casey led the nation in assist-to-turnover ratio last year, but he's going to average 5-7 points a game. So they're not going to really be able to – I don't really see who goes right at Joel Berry defensively.
On the Pulse, ESPN Charlotte, Bob Rickert joining us. Bob, Oregon pulled a 3 seed. Did you feel like that was a little disrespectful, or do you think that's where they should have been slotted?
Well, I think, you know, as your colleague noted there, you know, a lot of people, you know, they saw Boucher going down and they said, well, wait a minute. In fact, I saw a bunch of national sites saying, well, Oregon loses its starting center, which was interesting because he didn't start a single game all year that I remember, but okay, fine, you know. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, so when that happens, everyone assumes he's a starter, which I would too. But I think the slight wasn't necessarily that big because they lost to Arizona in the final. Yeah, they lost 83-80, close game, basically a home game because Vegas is so close to Tucson by comparison. So that's, you know, a bunch of Cats fans. Mm-hmm. I guess Oregon might have been a 2 seed. You know, I guess, I don't know. It wasn't like they gave him a 5, you know. Mm-hmm. I guess I was most disappointed because they had to face Kansas to get to the 4, and I kept thinking, oh, boy,
well, that was,
we've seen this show before.
Yeah, that was the incredible game, 74-60. Kansas had scored in the 90s every game in the tournament, and Oregon, they made that game a joke. You like run my wife's night Saturday night, man. It was.
I'm sorry.
It was tough.
I would imagine. Yeah, I can imagine Reba was like, "Are you kidding me? Are you kidding me?" I can only imagine the look on her face.
Absolutely.
Tell her I'm sorry.
All right, is this game going to be played? I mean, do you see this in the 80s, 90s, or what kind of tempo do you see?
Well, 80s, 90s, North Carolina wins this game because Oregon can't score that many points. Unless everybody's really hitting on, on all cylinders. I would be shocked if Oregon won if that game's in the 80s, 90s.
Mm-hmm.
If the game's in the 60s, 70s, I think Oregon has a chance. What you're going to see is, again, Oregon's going to try to take 5 to 10 seconds off that shot clock on defense with just this sort of soft zone press that requires 2-3 passes to get it up court, and all of a sudden now there's only 20 seconds. They'll try to limit the number of possessions in the game just right there for mm-hmm. all kinds of reasons. They don't have the depth there on the bench that North Carolina does, so they don't have as many fouls to give, all those reasons. I think what Oregon's going to want to do, to be honest, is they're going to run their weave offense. Pritchard's had some problems getting the offense started at the top of the key. They did a nice job in North Carolina at Rhode Island, and also Kansas, both did a really good job of forcing him out an extra 10 feet. And when you do that, all of a sudden the passes aren't at the right angle, and you can just see the offense set a breakdown. That's what happened with Kansas. It also slows the game down, which is a little bit to Oregon's favor. One other thing I think you'll see Cavell Bigby-Williams pretty early in the game, and I think you'll see Keith Smith. Bigby's a big 6'11" guy, and I think they're going to try to steal some minutes early to give Bell a rest and make sure he doesn't get in foul trouble. Because if North Carolina gets Bell in foul trouble, I don't see how Oregon stays in the game. They just don't have the horses underneath to deal with North Carolina. So
Bell had the 8 blocks that game against Kansas. Bob Rickard, again, fishduck.com is the website, covers the Oregon Ducks. Bob, enjoy it, man. We really appreciate catching up again here in Charlotte.
No problem.